What a beautiful morning.
Well, I'm riding along.
If I weren't here in the studio, I'd be on my horse singing my cowboy song.
Can I go with you?
And you know how good I sing.
Good morning, y'all.
You're tuned in to Rosie on the House on a beautiful Saturday morning. Not a cloud in the sky. What do you think about that rain yesterday? Pretty good for Thursday night. They were saying a 20% chance of rain. That's a pretty good 20%er right there, man. Woo!
It's a funny time of day.
The wash behind our house was running about 4 feet deep. It's about as high as I've ever seen it. Woo! You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, the opening ceremony of the Olympics of home ownership right here. Broadcasting 28 years, we are Arizona Homeowners Weekend Wake-Up Call. Here we go. Oh, man, how pretty can that be? And we've got a very special guest in studio this morning joining us. Before we introduce him, I have to tell you, we always talk about what we deal with all week long. And I don't think a lot of people realize that we have a staff of 11 people. And we're on the phone constantly all week long dealing with issues for Arizona homeowners, doing the best we can to answer questions. This super cooling, I mean, how many years have we talked about super cooling, babe?
A lot.
I mean, it is like inundating us right now.
Well, it's been a hot summer.
We're going to cover it more at 7:30 because I want to get to our special guest. But we got a call from Gina, and she's like buying 94% of her power off peak. And she says, how can I do better? Folks, you can never get your electric bill to zero, okay? If you're going to run an air conditioner, you are going to have an electric bill. 7:30, I want to talk about somebody who drove their bill down from $180 in May to $42 in June. That
wow.
was this year.
So, a little Christmas money there.
Yeah, a little Christmas money right there. Super cooling. Man, it is really driving our office right now. But right now, we've got a special guest in studio that actually took time off this Saturday morning, postponing his own daughter's birthday party to be here. Man, how humbling is that? We have the director from the Registrar of Contractors, Jeff Fleetham. Mr. Jeff, thank you a million for coming in this morning.
Good morning, Rosie. Really happy to be here.
Oh,
good to be with you.
We're tickled to death. Hey, I especially am tickled to death that you saved it up until yesterday to collect your most wanted entity and so that we could have a late-breaking news story on our show.
Absolutely.
You had all the guys out there, right?
Yeah, we did.
Did it take a black helicopter to get him?
Not a black helicopter this time.
Is Tom Cruise there?
No. Our guys, we got some good guys.
So. Yeah, you do. Let's talk a little bit about what y'all do. Let's give an introduction to the Registrar of Contractors for our listeners.
Okay. Registrar of Contractors was founded in 1931, and the goal of Registrar of Contractors is protect the public, the citizens of the state of Arizona. That also includes licensed contractors, by the way, from unsavory folks. What we do is we regulate contractors. A contractor in the state of Arizona has to be licensed to be a contractor in Arizona. You have to be licensed. You have to pass certain tests, certain experience requirements. And then then licenses are renewed. And then what we do is we help them maintain their licenses. And then homeowners, should there be a problem with a licensed contractor, homeowners can file a complaint with us. The complaint will be investigated. If the complaint is found to be a valid complaint, then there's an order given to the contractor to correct work if that indeed is part of the complaint. If for some reason the work isn't corrected, then the homeowner then has an opportunity to apply then for what we call the recovery fund to recover some of those funds. The maximum is $30,000 for a residence, up to $200,000 for a licensed contractor. So if a licensed contractor collapsed like in the 2008 collapse.
There were a few.
There could be up to $200,000 there. That money is funded by assessments that the contractor puts into this every time they get once they get their new license and every time they renew. Now, if it's an unlicensed entity, And notice I said entity.
Yeah.
In the state of Arizona, statutorily, to be a contractor, you need to be licensed. So if you're not licensed, you're not a contractor.
So it's a misnomer to say unlicensed contractor.
Well, I get a lot of heat from that from some people. They tease me on it. But look, we license construction professionals. And that's what we do. And licensed construction professionals is what we do. Unlicensed entities, if a homeowner or anybody, a business people, that because that happens sometimes, hires an unlicensed entity or somebody who is not licensed in the state of Arizona to be contract, then they can file a complaint with us. Here's the rub. There's no resolution through the Registrar of Contractors other than us collecting the information, putting the packet together, and passing it off to prosecutors after we've assigned some civil penalties. So always hire licensed construction professionals. Always, always, always. There's no resolution.
The license, bonded, and insured. The bonded and the insured is a requirement to getting the license.
Absolutely not. The bonding is. Insured is not. License and bonded, there's a misnomer. However, there's nothing wrong with the homeowner asking the contractor to supply them with a copy of their insurance.
Absolutely. The Registrar of Contractors, essentially for Arizona homeowners, is one more layer of protection that a lot of other states don't have between themselves and service providers.
Absolutely. There are quite a few states, about 30 states, that have boards and commissions. However, not all have a recovery fund, and not all are organized the way we are.
You know, it's more important in a community like ours, where people come in, they haven't been here their whole lives, they don't know families. Contractors come in and set up, and, you know, that's one way to ensure that you've got someone who's taken the time to really know the trade and they're willing to be accountable for what they do.
Absolutely.
Some of the requirements. Now, it's been 35 years since I took my test.
Oh, my God. Were you like eight, Rosie? You must have been 8 years old.
But as I remember, there's the written test, and there's two phases of it. There's the trade side that you need to know how to be able to estimate how many block, how many bags of mortar, how many studs, how many nails, how many sheets of sheetrock, and things like that. And then there was a second part of the test that was a kind of a business side of the test about what's the most important part of a contract and, you know, just basic business things.
Absolutely.
So you've got to have kind of a basic understanding of those two dimensions. But then you mentioned it earlier, it's an experience criteria as well.
Correct. There's experience. We require different levels of experience, of course, for depending on how complicated the license is. Say if you wanted to be a general contractor, there would be 4 years of verifiable experience on top of being able to pass the exam and the business exam. More and more we've done over the past since you've taken the test, Rosie, we've increased more and more questions in our test regarding building codes. We've changed some additional things in there, and we continue to upgrade the exam. It's quite a challenge to do that on a regular basis, but we have an ongoing process.
The test took so long to take when I took it, I had to answer. I had to chisel my answers into stone.
Right, right, yeah. Well, we're past the stone part, but it still is not a quick test. I think it's you're allowed maybe 2 or 3 hours to take the trade portion of the exam. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you're up to right now. Again, y'all have a major catch just yesterday.
right. Well, you know, we just and it wasn't just us. We are this Mr. Saliers, unlicensed entity had been arrested. What we do is at the registrar, when it comes to that, our investigators will take information from somebody making the complaint. And we will collect it, and we'll start doing more and more investigations, seeing if we can find more people involved. And then we package this information once it starts to approach the Title 13 of the criminal code, and we pass it off to our people that we've worked with, Maricopa County Sheriff's Department or Phoenix or Scottsdale or Mesa. We've got great relationships with local law enforcement agencies, and then they will. Put out warrants on these folks, and they'll arrest them. This character particularly, you know, he had contracts over $200,000 that were involved in these complaints and had been paid, had collected over $147,000 did some poor work, mostly abandoned the projects. And abandoned means when you give somebody some money and you don't see them again, except for the time when they show up to get the check in their brand new hijacked up dually pickup truck.
Well, I especially appreciate kind of more of the interagency work that you're doing, because I'll tell you, you get a guy like this, and quite frankly, it wouldn't be – this is just the vindictive homeowner protecting side of me. I don't think it would be cruel to literally disembowel this guy. And I would do that. You know, if he's doing this, director, he's not paying taxes. The IRS needs his name and his Social Security number. He's not paying workman's comp on anybody. The workman's comp commission needs his name and his number. It's just, I would just hand him from one agency to the next, to the next, to the next, and then I'd put every state surrounding Arizona on notice. He's probably coming your way.
Well, we belong to a group of states agencies called the National Association of State Contractor Licensing
yes.
Agencies. And the only reason why it's only named that is because they couldn't get the acronym on the business card longer than that. But, however, and then we also meet regularly. When I say regularly, at least two times a year on a tri-state group, California, Nevada, and Arizona, with our compliance folks. It seems to be that some of these people, they just kind of go from Arizona, we'll do it, and then they'll go over to California, and then they'll go up to Nevada, then they'll go and they kind of do a rotation. You know, here's the thing with unlicensed.
They're like shag carpet. They come around about every 30 years.
There you go. It's the thing with unlicensed entities is not all of these people that are, you know, that aren't licensed are bad dudes. You know, some of them are ignorant because people come from out of state and they're ignorant. Others are trying to get by just enough to collect the money to get their license. But there's others like this person. This is their business model. This is how they operate. You know, there are some licensed entities, licensed contractors that are not really up and up. So what we've got here is we've got a guy. This is his business model. We finally put enough together to get him arrested again.
Good.
If I don't know if he'd ever been arrested again, but right now he spent the evening in Maricopa County's jail on 4th Avenue Jail. I'm sure, you know, he's probably got some pants that's a little stretchy
pants,
and maybe
some pink underwear.
I don't know.
Here at Rosie on the House, we're here with the director of the Arizona Register of Contractors, Jeff Fleetham. We're going to come back. I want to talk about the new website. And I want to talk about what are we going to do about the labor shortage in Arizona in our trades.